Hallelujah. One more time, why don't you give that hand clap to Jesus all over this auditorium? Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. If you have your Bible, turn quickly to the book of Matthew. While you're turning there, I want to convey how unbelievably honored I am to be here. And, I count your pastor as one of my close friends. He and his wife and his family are doing an incredible job here. Amen. God smiled on First Pentecostal Church of Buford when they sent Pastor and Sister Copeland to take over here in this church. Are you blessed with great leadership in this congregation? Amen. Obviously, the legacy of Bishop Copeland lives on through Pastor Jordan Copeland and his family, but amen, God will give him grace to take this church to a place that Bishop Copeland never took it. And that's the will of God. That doesn't insult anybody beforehand. It elevates the ministry of the legacy that is in this church. And I just believe the greatest days of FPC Buford are ahead of us. I just believe there's bigger buildings and bigger revivals and bigger miracles and bigger breakthroughs. I just believe it's greater. Does anybody believe in greater? Hallelujah. And what a privilege it is to be a part of the kingdom of God in 2021. Amen. That God has entrusted the kingdom of God with us. Amen. God entrusted the Apostle Paul and the disciples with the kingdom of God in their day. But God has entrusted us with the kingdom of God for our day. Amen. He's not going to give us more than we can handle, but he has and he will elevate and anoint and raise up leaders in this day. And I want to be a part of what God is doing in 2021. I want to be a part of the greatest apostolic revival the world has ever seen. Hallelujah. That is the will of God. Amen. And I honor them today. And I pray that in the very near future, this church can come and be a part of what God is doing in Roatan and the Bay Islands of Honduras. We built a 300-seat auditorium right on the main road between the biggest city and the second biggest city. You can't miss it. We've got the biggest sign. We've got the biggest church. We've got the greatest preacher there. And then we filled it up. And when y'all come, everybody wants to come do an ocean baptism. That's what everybody wants to do. Because we got people getting baptized every week, and everyone wants to come and baptize someone in the ocean. I'll be honest, I'm tired of baptizing people in the ocean. It's dirty, there's fish, there's crabs. I don't enjoy that anymore. I used to romanticize it. Going, walking out, every step is a little bit deeper. Praise God, the sins are rolling as the tide goes out. And then that just got old. So I built me a baptistry in the church, and now I stay dry when we baptize people. Praise God. Last week, we baptized number 500 in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. When y'all come, we'll walk out into the ocean and we'll do it. But when y'all leave, I'm going back to the baptistry. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. But God is raising up an apostolic church. We filled up our building, and now we're in a conundrum. Because we, conundrum in Spanish, brother. Do that one for me. Hallelujah. When I preach in English, I'm in my mind, I'm preaching in Spanish, but oftentimes I forget about the job happening behind me. That's a difficult one right there. Y'all, you figure that one out. Praise God. We have a challenge because we can't fit any more people, and God is continuing to add to the church. So God spoke to me recently about planting an east location on the island. And so pray for us, because right now we're looking for real estate to build another location to accommodate the entire east portion of the island. And I know that God is going to provide and God is going to send the resources, but pray that God does it soon, because revival is happening right now. Amen. Matthew chapter number 7, verse number 24. These are the words of Jesus. Verse 24 begins by saying, therefore, when I was learning to preach and understand scripture. Brother Bishop Nathaniel Wilson, he used to tell me, Stephen, whenever you see a therefore, you need to go back and find out what it's there for. But right now, we don't have time for that. So you do that when you get home. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, hearing and doing, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Everybody say, founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rains descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. For just a few moments on this Sunday afternoon, I'd like to talk to you from this subject, the wind. The wind. Amen. God bless you. Would you put your Bible down behind you, and would you lift your hands towards heaven? And would you pray for just 30 seconds that God would open up every heart, every mind, every spirit, open up our understanding of what God is doing and speaking in this congregation. God, we love you. We appreciate you. We thank you for what we feel in this room right now. We will not fail to give you all the praise and all of the glory. Amen. We need you to move. We need you to speak. We need you to have your way in this place in the name of Jesus. Would you clap your hands one more time and give God a shout of praise? Hallelujah. Praise God. God bless you. You can be seated. Mr. Soundman, just for me, a little bit more monitor, and I won't harass you anymore. Praise God. Amen. Even if you don't do it, I'm not going to harass you again. Praise God. It's in your hands now. Wind is associated with some of weather's most complex storms. And I'm not a meteorologist today, but I can tell you that wind is simply defined as the horizontal movement of air from one location to another. And wind is created through differences in air pressure. Because the earth is unequal, there's valleys and mountaintops, the earth and the surface of the earth heats differently. And all of this causes pressure differences. Ultimately, the source of wind is the sun. When wind and cool air above lakes and oceans and other bodies of water begins to heat, it rushes up to take the place of cooler or warmer air lifting higher. And though this process cannot be seen with our human or the naked eye, you and I are witnesses to the fact and the continual movement of wind in our world. When we see leaves blowing down the street of our where our home dwells, we are aware of the presence of wind. When we feel that hot gust of wind blow across our face, we know that there was wind present. When we hear the whipping of palm branches in the trees above us, we know that the presence of wind is significant. One of the greatest natural resources in our world, natural resources and forces, is the wind. For thousands of years, people have attempted to visualize the wind and understand the wind and even harness the wind and the power of the wind. And so now in modern times, we use wind to steer ships, and we use wind to separate the wheat and the chaff. We even use wind to collect and redistribute water in the world. We use wind to fly airplanes. And while wind can produce good and profitable things, wind has also been the cause of some of our world's greatest natural disasters. Hurricanes have destroyed cities. In 2005, Hurricane Katrina killed over 1,200 people. Tornadoes devastate homes. In 2011, the Joplin hurricanes killed 158 people. Uncontrolled fires in Northern California have flattened communities when winds that fuel those hill fires in Chico and Red Bluff and Redding have leveled homes and businesses. Wind is a powerful thing in our world. But wind is not always a physical resource. Even there are winds of ideology in our world. and they have wreaked havoc on nations and cultures. The winds of radical Islam spread through the Middle East, and they have gusted their way across the Atlantic Ocean on the back of a 747 and crashed their way into the towers in New York City. And it was not a physical storm, but it was an ideological hurricane that killed 3,000 people. Since the beginning of time, there has been the presence of wind in our world. Genesis records the creation account and tells us about the wind. The Bible says, and the Spirit of the Lord, or Spirit of God, moved upon the face of the waters. One translation literally tells us that a great wind hovered over the face of the deep. And this was our very first glimpse into life and creation. And so for thousands of years, we watched the wind blow, and the winds have continued to blow. And Acts chapter 2 records the events that we as Pentecostals know so well, that when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one place and in one accord. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. I want you to know tonight that that was not the very first time wind had blown in our world, but it was the very first time that the wind of the Holy Ghost had ever blown, and it opened the door for salvation to whoever wanted to have it. A little bit later in Acts chapter number 10, you read where Peter is, he is on the rooftop and he's praying. And he receives a vision from God. The Bible says that Peter's mother was cooking, and Peter goes up onto the rooftop to pray. That's how I know Peter was more spiritual than me. Because when my mama is cooking, not my mother that you found out this morning that passed away, but my father remarried and gave me a beautiful stepmother who loves God and raised us in the truth. When she's cooking, I'll just make it this way. When my hot mama's cooking, I got myself a hot mama now. Praise God. When she's cooking, I ain't interested in praying. I'm interested in finding out what she's cooking. That's right. Hey, translate hot mama. Praise God. I suppose so. Yeah, that's nice. That's easy. Come on, give it to him good. I'm not up on the rooftop praying, but Peter, he's up there praying. And the Bible says that Peter falls into a trance. That's what the Bible says. He falls into a trance. And in that trance, God gives him a vision. And in that vision, there is a sheet that is descending out of heaven. And in the four corners of that sheet are all kinds of, the Bible says, are unclean and clean animals, common and uncommon animals. And God speaks to Peter in that vision and says, Peter, I want you to arise. I want you to get up. I want you to slay an animal, and I want you to eat. And Peter, in his own self-righteousness, his own righteous indignation, he looks back at the Lord and he says, Lord, you know that I've never tasted anything that is common. And you know that I've never tasted anything that is unclean. And God has to rebuke Peter. Every once in a while, God's got to rebuke us and get us in a proper perspective. He says, you don't even have a clue what I'm talking about, Peter. I am speaking metaphorically about a coming apostolic revival that you have no idea what you're about to step into. You know what Peter was doing? He was doing what we do so many times. He was trying to stake his claim on the wind of the Holy Ghost. He was trying to monopolize the wind and marginalize the wind and make the wind just about him and just about them. And I can tell you right now that this church is a living representation that the Holy Ghost is an inclusive thing. It is a nonpartisan thing. It is a whole world thing. It is an every nation thing. It is an every color thing. It is an every kindred thing. Peter, you are trying to box up Jesus. You're trying to marginalize the power of God. You have to understand that Peter was from a sect of Jews that believed that Jesus was coming with a sword and a spear and a chariot and an army. They thought that he was coming to vindicate them of their adversary, Rome. But I want you to know tonight, I want you to understand this, preacher. If you don't understand one other thing I'm telling you, I want you to understand me, that Jesus was not a humanitarian. Jesus was not a political official. Jesus was not a radical. He was not on the street corner picketing the government, because the weapons of our warfare, they are not carnal, but they are mighty through God. I am not here to fight the mayor. I'm fighting a spiritual battle. I'm not here to fight the governor. I'm fighting a spiritual battle. I'm not here to fight a Democrat. I'm not here to fight a Green Party. I'm not here to fight a Republican. I am a part of something so much greater, so much more. Hey, I don't lose sleep at night. Who's going to be in the White House or who's going to be in the Gray House? I know who the King of Kings is. I know who the Lord of Lords. I'm not interested. I don't care what policies they make. I'm not interested in bureaucracy. I'm not interested in any sort of governmental official. Listen, I'm not even worried about COVID. I'm not worried about a pandemic. I'm not worried about this pestilence or the next pestilence. Hey, I might get in trouble. Your pastor can fix this later. But this is not the first noisy pestilence that has hit our world. And this will likely not be the last. This is what it is. It's a noisy pestilence. It is a noisy distraction. And listen, I am not scared of COVID-19, just like I'm not scared of leukemia. I'm not scared of cancer. I'm not scared of the... Hey, I want you to know something. I want you to know... If I go to hospital and I'm on a ventilator and I die in the hospital, I want you to know that COVID-19 did not win, because the moment I take my last breath on a ventilator in a hospital room, I take my first breath on streets of gold and walls of jasper. And Jesus won again. The Holy Ghost wins every time. That's why I want to be like the Apostle Paul said of Abraham. He was looking for a city that had foundations, whose builder and maker was God. But here he could find no continuing city. I may be of this world, but I am not of this world. One glad morning when this life is over, this corruptible is going to put on incorruptible. This mortality is going to put on immortality. And I'm going to fly away. I'm going to fly away. You've never known the love like the love up there. You've never known peace like the peace up there. You've never known joy like the joy up there. I am not interested in getting bogged down by political wars with governmental officials when I am a part of something so much greater. Now I'm a missionary, and we deal with levels of poverty and need that you have to search pretty hard in Georgia to find. I'm talking about it'll take your breath away, the kind of things we see. And so I feel an overwhelming sense of responsibility to put backpacks on street kids and start a soup kitchen and make sure that we take care of the humanitarian needs of our community. But I do a disservice to the community around me if I put a backpack on those kids, I put food in their belly, and I never preach to them Jesus Christ and Him crucified. We are not the YMCA. We are not the Elks Club. This is the Church of the Living God. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for He has anointed me, what? To preach the gospel. To preach the gospel. Jesus did not come with a sword and a spear. He did not come to overthrow their enemy, Rome. Jesus came with a towel. He came with a servant's heart. And He came to overthrow the giant of sin. But you would overlook Jesus. He was unassuming. He was undesirable. He was just the son of a carpenter. But he could do what nobody else could do. Praise God. Cornelius, Peter gets off that roof. He receives his rebuke, and he finds himself in the house of Cornelius. The door of Cornelius and the door to the Gentiles is open, and the Bible says all he does while he's there, while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on the Gentiles also. They said, can any man forbid them to be baptized? He commanded they be baptized in the name of our Lord. Can I tell you, the wind of the Holy Ghost is still blowing today? I want you to know it does not matter where you're standing, where you're sitting, where you're lying down, or you're jogging in place. The Holy Ghost can fall right where you are for the first time, or it can happen again in your life. If you desire to be saved, there is nobody, there is no one, there is no family, there is no tradition, there's no governmental official that can stop you from getting the Holy Ghost. That's why in a conversation with Nicodemus, Jesus told the Pharisee, the wind blows where it listeth, or it wants to. You hear the sound thereof, but you cannot even tell where it came from, and you don't even know where it's going. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. You hear me, FPC Buford? I want you to know the wind of the Holy Ghost is blowing right now in places that you don't even know about. The Holy Ghost is blowing through the speakers of earbuds in people's homes right now. The Holy Ghost is blowing in car conversations right now. The Holy Ghost is blowing over FaceTime phone calls right now. The Holy Ghost is blowing in churches, in backsliders, in cities, in countries, in continents. Do not underestimate what God can do in chaotic times. The wind is blowing in places you don't even know about. I believe in 2021, you better just get ready for Lutheran preachers to show up at this church because the wind was blowing in their office. You better get ready for Catholic priests to show up in this church and say, I felt the wind of revelation blowing in my church. I need the gift of the Holy Ghost. There's wind blowing in unchurched cities in Mexico. There's wind blowing in car conversations in China. There's wind blowing in Facebook video calls to Africa. The wind blows where? Enlisted. There are Trinitarians in this city that are getting the revelation of Jesus' name. There are agnostics in this city and atheists in this city that are seeking the Holy Ghost. You better just get ready for an apostolic revival. There is a great and an effectual door that is opening to the apostolic church, and we better rise to the occasion and declare the truth of God's word. I'm telling you right now, you better believe that Jesus has never looked better than he looks right now. Getting off of drugs has never looked better than it looks right now. God putting your marriage back together has never looked better than it looks right now. Going to heaven has never looked better than it looks right now. Getting free from sin and condemnation and shame has never looked better than it looks right now. Hey, be seated for a second. I'm going to say something controversial. Maybe not that controversial. But we need to be prepared. I want you to know the wind of the Holy Ghost is not just blowing in apostolic churches. Because this wind doesn't belong to us. This is not our wind. We don't know where it came from. We don't even know where it's going. All we know is that the wind is like every person that is born of the Spirit. You just better get ready for the churches around this city for the wind to start blowing through their congregation and people starting to get the gift of the Holy Ghost. You don't need to be afraid of that. We need to pray for that. That is an apostolic revival. This wind does not belong to us. This is God's wind. This is liberating power. We are praying for a citywide revival. God, blow in this city. Blow in this city. We need the wind of God's word. Not long ago, I was trying to, y'all are so sophisticated around here. Hey, is there a handkerchief? Can I get this down here? Is that for anointing people or can I use it? Praise God. I don't want to mishandle the anointing. Y'all are so sophisticated with all this trim and fancy stuff. On the mission field, we just get by. And we got to create programs to be more sophisticated. Y'all got Sunday school ministry, daycare ministry, Bible quiz, chorale, choir. Man, I had to start making ministries. I made shovel ministry. Shovel ministry is a good ministry. You got it? Praise God. Well, our shovel ministry is powerful because we can take a limp-wristed, weak teenage boy and turn him into a man in about 8 hours. Y'all need me to come do a shovel ministry seminar? We do Bible quiz seminars. I'll come do shovel ministry. Praise God. I'll take all the sissy boys in this church and turn them into men in about... Well, you're looking at the superintendent of shovel ministry because nobody else wanted to take it on. So I'm the superintendent and the only member. Praise God. I was out at the church working, getting ready to pour the parking lot while we were building our church. And I was out there in work boots and jeans and just looking all trashy. And one of the young men in my church said, "Pastor, there's a man up in the front of our property and he's praying." I said, "Well, this is a good opportunity to take a break. I want to go meet a praying man." We're the only apostolic church within 150 miles. We're the only apostolic church on any of the Bay Islands. There's Cayos Cochinos, there's Utila, there's Roatan, there's Guanaja, there's Barbarat, there's St. Helena. The only apostolic church ever. So we feel pretty alone sometimes. So you know how that saying, sometimes you feel like you're on an island? And then you're on an island? And you're like, "Wow, this is really compounded. Praise God." We're down there, and I said, "Man, there's a guy praying on our church property. I want to go meet this guy." So I walked out there. He was a big, tall, black man. And I said, I just wanted to come introduce myself. I pastor this church, oversee this work, and I just wanted to come meet a praying man. He said, "No, it's okay." He spoke English, which is not common. And he said, I was just here praying, but I'm on my way out of here." I said, "Okay. Well, if you don't mind me asking, what are you praying about?" He said, "Well, I'm praying that God would tear this building down." And it was at that time, I still wish I had my shovel. Because I was about to introduce him to shovel ministry. It's a good thing I didn't. But I haven't read it in a while, but there's an old book, How to Win Friends and Influence People, and I don't believe that's how you do it. And I'll be honest with you. I want people to like me. I do. I want people to like me as a person. I want people on the island, even if they don't attend my church, I want them to like me. And this man obviously didn't like me, and that bothered me. And I didn't know who he was. He left as soon as he arrived. And it was a Saturday night. It bothered me. I went home. I didn't sleep good that night. I'm out here just trying to build an apostolic church, teach people the truth of God's word. And I've got people praying that my building falls down. And it bothered me that night. It bothered me Sunday morning. I was getting ready for church. It bothered me right up until we were about to start service. And about 25 people walked in the back door of our church. And I turned to one of the people in our congregation. I said, "Who are these people?" He said, "You know that man that was praying against our church yesterday?" I said, "Yeah." He goes, "Those are the people that used to go to his church, but they told me this morning they want to start attending this church." And I realized in that moment, you can pray against the church of God's people, but you're not going to stop God's people. Because there is a wind that'll blow through your church, and it'll blow your people right out of that congregation, and it'll blow them into this I found out this church is not built on my personality. It's not built on my pedigree. It's not even built on programs. It's built on the unshakable, unstoppable rock of God's word. The builders rejected this rock, but it's unmovable. This is the stone that the builders rejected, but this is an unshakable rock. This is the rock of God's word, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. You can trivialize our faith, but you're not going to stop the church. You can burn us at the stake, but you're not going to stop the church. You can make fun of our worship, but you're not going to stop the church. This is God's church, and this is God's wind. Praise God. This is not the only wind blowing in our world. The wind of the Holy Ghost. There's another wind, and it's affecting people, families. The Bible says, "In the last days, saith God, anything that could be shaken would be shaken by the wind. We are living in a day where wind is blowing across our world. If you are not aware of that, if you can't see it or sense it, then you are spiritually blind to what is happening all around you. Winds are blowing through our churches, and winds are blowing through our governments and our financial institutions and through our families. And what we read in Matthew is the final words of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. He concludes these statements and he leaves us in the world with that we are to be aware that there are winds blowing in the earth. We don't have to like the unpleasantries of the wind, but there is wind in the forecast. And you need to know how to respond to the wind. Because no one is exempt from the wind. I live on a little island out 55 miles long, 5 miles wide, 150 to 200,000 people crawling over this island like ants over the top of each other. But the cruise industry, and many of you who are avid cruisers, Princess, Norwegian, Royal, whatever your selection is, they have discovered that if they can take a cruise ship to the Caribbean, they can fill up a boat with about 4,000 very hungry, buffet-desiring Americans. And so they carved a little channel in the reef so that those big boats, these are the most sophisticated boats in the world, aside from any military equipment. Aside from military, there's not a boat more advanced than a cruise ship. Upwards of $1 billion, almost $2 billion to build. I've watched that as that they carved a narrow channel through the reef so those boats can make their way to the place where they allow the passengers to disembark. And when the wind is blowing too strong, I've watched with my own eyes as that big boat full of all the autopilot capabilities and all the correction capabilities and all the safety mechanisms, as it turns to make its way down that channel through the reef. If the wind is blowing too violently, I've watched as that big $1 billion boat backs up out of that channel and will skip the islands because it's too dangerous to try to make its way through that narrow little channel. I'm telling you, it does not matter how big you get living for God, you will never be exempt from the wind affecting your life. And you will never be so small and insignificant on your little canoe that you are unaffected by the wind. The Bible talks about the wind. The Bible talks about the wind blowing from the four corners of the earth. The Bible talks about a northern wind that'll drive the wind away. The Bible talks about a southern wind and said, Jesus told the Pharisees, you can discern the days and the skies from the wind. You can sense when heat is coming by the wind. The Bible talks about an eastern wind. The Bible says it was an eastern wind that lifted the Red Sea on its heels. And the children of Israel passed through on dry ground. Moses depended on the wind. He stood at the edge of that sea with upwards of 2 to some scholars believe 10 million people standing behind him. You can hear the rolling of chariots in the distant background coming to recapture their property. There they are standing, and Moses is praying, God, you brought us this far. You need to do something about this. And God makes a way for them. He can feel the wind picking up over his shoulder, and that sea stands up on its heels, and God peels the Red Sea back like sheets. Not only did they pass through and they were delivered, but the Bible says that the wind dried the ground under their feet. Hey, I'm telling you, there is a wind so powerful that'll not only deliver you from your adversary, but you'll pass through your deliverance on dry ground. It wasn't soupy dirt. It wasn't squishy, muddy ground. But God has a wind so powerful that it'll extract the moisture of everything that was under the surface there before. What are you talking about, Brother Jones? I'm telling you, God will deliver you, and it'll be so powerful, it'll be so instantaneous that people will look at you and they'll never even know that you used to be addicted to cigarettes. They'll say, you used to be a drug addict. God dries the ground under your feet. You'll walk through on dry ground.
You used to be angry. You used to be violent. You used to be a gang member. There's no evidence of that. That is the wind. That is the power of God's delivering wind. You walk through into your deliverance on dry ground. And then God releases the wind. And it swallows up their adversary. I'm preaching to you on this Sunday night. God has a delivering wind. And it'll blow through this church on a Sunday night. It'll blow through your life on a Sunday morning. It'll show up on Monday afternoon. It's a delivering wind. God has wind. And it's so thorough. And it's so deep. And it's so powerful. That it can extract the evidence of who you were right out of the ground. It's the wind. It's the power of God. The wind. I'm not far from being done. You musicians, you can get ready. The wind, most of the time, oftentimes, is not sent by God as much as it is allowed by God. God allows the wind to separate the profitable and the unprofitable things in your life. The profitable and the wasteful things in your life. Just like they would do when they would take a wheat harvest up to the top of a mountain to the threshing floor. They would go to a place where they knew the wind would blow violently, and they would take that heavy harvest and they would throw that up in the air, and that wind would make its way through the fruit and it would carry the lighter, wasteful chaff out of the fruit, and the fruitful remains of wheat would fall back to the ground. God doesn't always send the wind, but God allows the wind. And he allows the wind to blow through your life. And it's a separating wind. It's separating profitable things in you and unprofitable things in you. Because you cannot have a casual relationship with God and survive the wind. You cannot have a weak prayer life and survive the wind. Because there is a wind blowing in our world, and it'll blow you right out of the church. The enemy is looking for homes that are not built upon the rock, but they're built upon the sand. The enemy is looking for people who have not taken time to invest in the integrity of their life, and he's awaiting an eastern wind to swallow up your home. The Apostle Paul warned this when he said that henceforth, no more that we be like children tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. There are heavy winds in the forecast. And not every wind is a wind that you need to attend to. Not every voice that you hear is a voice that needs to speak into your life. Most of the time it's just hot air. Not every preacher on Facebook needs to give you a word of direction. Not every live stream church service needs to be tuned into. Hey, if you're going to take time during your week and watch church online, you might as well just go back and watch these services and your pastor and this church and be a part of what God is doing in this service. Every other preacher is hot wind. If it's contrary to the wind that God is setting from your man of God, God, guide my life by a directional wind of revival. Hallelujah. Unless your house is built on the rock, you will be tossed to and fro. Unless your house is built on a rock, you will be torn and swiftly taken. Don't be persuaded by every wind that blows across our world. Don't be persuaded by every doctrine that blows through this land. Don't be persuaded by every wind. You can't control the wind. You don't manipulate the wind. You don't own the wind, but you need to know how to respond to the wind. What do I do with the wind? Musicians, come quickly. As I begin to consider the wind and these dynamics of wind, I begin to consider things in my life that best represented these two specific realities. And I, maybe this is too simple or elementary for some of you tonight, but I began to consider windmills and tumbleweeds. Both are on the same farm. Both are subject to the same conditions. Both are affected by the wind. Both experience the same gusts and the same violence and the same turbulence. Both have no say-so which direction the wind blows. Both have no say-so what degree of speed the wind blows. But one is scattered, the other is situated. While one is tossed, the other is tested and sure. While one is destroyed, the other is determined. While one is unable to determine its own course or its own destination, one rides an emotional roller coaster of highs and lows and good days and bad days and attending and skipping. The other is a windmill, and it has the internal fortitude to harness the wind and use it to its own advantage. A tumbleweed is just carried by the wind. And a windmill is empowered by the wind. Brother Copeland, you know what causes a tumbleweed? Maturity and dryness. You know what that lets me know? The longer you live for God does not mean the more secure you are. The longer this becomes normal to you, the more susceptible you are to becoming mature and dry. Because when tumbleweeds are just nothing more than something that used to be fruitful, that's not fruitful anymore. Used to be profitable, but it's not profitable anymore. It used to be grounded, but it's not grounded anymore. It used to be anchored, but it's not anchored anymore. Now it's just uprooted and it's carried about by every wind that blows across its life. It's just tossed to and fro. It might be here on Sunday night. It might not be. It might miss a few months. It might not be. It might be at revival. It might not be. It might be a prayer meeting. It might not be. It might pay its tithes. It might not be. It might be giving offering. It might not be. It's just a tumbleweed carried by emotional highs and lows. That is not the will of God for the church in 2021. Some of you may be making the drive from here to Tulsa, Oklahoma in the next couple of days. You just remember this, preacher. Once you get into the Midwest and you start getting into those flatlands, you start looking on the fence lines. And you're going to start seeing tumbleweeds. They're on the farm, but they're as far away from the responsibility and the activity of the farm as you can possibly be. They're still on the property, but they are huddled up. Normally, there's about four or five of them all huddled up together, and they're riding the fence. They're as far away from the burden and the activity as from the farm as you can be and still be on the property. Normally, they're all huddled up together, and they've got an opinion about everything. They don't shoulder responsibility. They've never had to carry the weight of this thing. They're not responsible for decisions, but they have got an opinion. Oh, I had so many people. Thank God the pandemic is almost over. I had so many people. I had tumbleweeds everywhere. I had my mask tumbleweeds over here. Oh boy, I just wish Pastor would make masks mandatory in the house of God. I don't want to get sick and die and end up on an incubator in the hospital. He just doesn't respect me. He don't love me. He wants me to die of COVID. He won't make it mandatory and make people sanitize their hands when they walk in the back door of the church. You had those tumbleweeds over there. And then I had my maskless tumbleweeds. Neither group carry any responsibility. They're just got an opinion. They have no idea how complicated it is to lead a church through this challenge.
But then my maskless are over there going, my God, my pastor ain't got no faith. I wish he would just rip the mask off everybody in the house and just bathe them in anointing oil and say, my God, we plead the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus is more powerful than hand sanitizer. We ought to just bathe people in sacrificial blood. Praise God. In every corner of mine, the four corners of my church, I had tumbleweeds gathered up. But you know what was right smack dab in the middle of my church? I had about 150 windmills that said, Pastor, whatever you want me to do, that's what I'm going to do. Because I just want the wind of the Holy Ghost to blow through my life. You just preach and I'll obey it. You just sing it and I'll shout to it. You just play and I'll dance to it. I want the wind of God's presence. My God, I wish we would shake ourselves loose of the spirit of criticism and sarcasm. And I wish we would get a hunger for the wind of God's presence and say, God, blow on me, blow in my family, blow in this church, blow in this city. We need the wind. I can feel that wind blowing through this church right now. I'm done preaching. You know what the book of Psalms says? It says, blessed is the man that walketh not after the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in that law doth he meditate day and night. For he shall be like a tree that is planted by the rivers of living water. Whatsoever he doeth shall prosper, and his leaf shall not wither. But the ungodly are not so. They are like the wind. They're like the chaff that the wind driveth away. You know what you need to do? Sometimes you need to be like a tree planted by the rivers of living water. You need to make up your mind whether the wind is blowing or the wind is not blowing. I'm going to be anchored in the house of God. I'm going to be anchored to God's word. The wind's not going to carry me out of the church. The wind's not going to cause me to walk away from God. I'm going to be like, you know what? You know why a windmill is built? A windmill is built exactly there because of the wind. A farmer doesn't put a windmill in a place where there's no wind. A farmer puts a windmill exactly where there's the most wind possible. Hey, if God gave you the Holy Ghost in 2021, it's because God knew you could handle the wind. I've been waiting all church service to say this. If you're a windmill, the last thing you need to do is keep your hands in your pockets or keep your arms folded. You know what a windmill does? It's got its hands lifted. Blow on me, Jesus. Blow on me, Jesus. I want the wind of God's presence. Blow revival. Blow blessing. Blow breakthrough. Blow. I wish about 300 people would throw their hands in the air and say, God, we need your wind. God, we... Come on, somebody lift your voice right now. Somebody lift your hands. Somebody lift the blades of your windmill and say, God, blow in this church. I'm going to praise you in the wind. I'm going to praise you in the storm. Come on, throw your hands in the air. Somebody lift up a praise right now in this house. If you can feel the wind flowing, I want you to lift up your hands. And I want you to begin to shout for the victory. There's a wind blowing. There's an apostolic wind blowing in this church. If you need a breakthrough, get your hands in the air. If you need healing in your body, get your hands in the air. If you need a breakthrough in your life, get your hands. Spirit out.
We're almost done. There's so many of us in this room right now. I pastor people. I'm not oblivious to the needs that are in this room right now. There are people in this room with financial needs. If you have a financial need, I want you to raise your hand. If you have a physical need, you need healing in your body, raise your hand. If you have a family need, I want you to raise your hand. Almost every person in this room is represented by a need. A need, because we are finite people that depend on the power of God. And oftentimes we wonder when God's going to show up, when God's going to change it, when God's going to send me the job, when God's going to heal my body, when God's going to fix my family. Most of the time, we're not waiting on God. God is waiting on us. And if you want the resources of God to begin to flow in your life, the arms of your windmill need to be stretched out to catch the wind of the Holy Ghost. Your posture of need should not be with your head drawn and your shoulders slumped, but your posture of need should be both hands in the air saying, God, I depend on you. God, you are the source of my supply. God, you can... Come on, I feel it right now. Lift your hands in your voice. I want you to begin to believe that it's already done in the name of Jesus.